Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
The newly appointed king of Babylon sits impassively on his throne, listening intently as two of his advisors, Hegi and Sheshbazzar, speak in hushed tones.
Your Majesty, with all due respect, your decision to appoint Daniel as one of the three presidents has caused quite a stir amongst the satraps.
Stir, explain yourselves.
They see Daniel, a foreigner, a man of the conquered people, placed in a position of high authority. It undermines their confidence in your judgment, Your Majesty.
Indeed, Your Majesty. Whispers abound of potential favoritism, of a hidden agenda behind his appointment.
And what precisely is this hidden agenda you speak of?
We wouldn't want to malign the man.
But whispers do suggest, Your Majesty, that Daniel may be using his influence to sway the other presidents towards policies that favor his own people, the Jews.
Are you accusing Daniel of disloyalty?
Not at all, Your Majesty. We simply wish to ensure your trust is well placed.
My trust is not given lightly. I appointed Daniel based on his proven wisdom, integrity, and unwavering loyalty. These qualities are precisely what I demand from all those who serve me, regardless of their origin. And need I remind you, Hagi, that you are also among those who have been conquered?
Of course, Your Majesty. We merely wish to bring these concerns to your attention.
Your concerns are noted, but let me be clear. Daniel has my full confidence. His loyalty is beyond question. Any further attempts to sow discord through unsubstantiated claims will not be tolerated. Is there anything else?
Hagi and Sheshbazzar exchange nervous glances, their initial bravado fading in the face of Darius's unwavering stance.
No further concerns, Your Majesty.
Good. Then you are dismissed.
The advisors bow low and retreat from the throne room, their faces etched with disappointment. But the advisors, consumed by envy towards Daniel, do not give up so easily.
We can't attack him directly. Darius trusts him too deeply.
We need a trap, something that plays on Darius' piety.
3 weeks later, they return to the king.
Your Majesty, we have noticed a growing discontent amongst the people.
Why is that?
They fear, Your Majesty, that your own piety is being undermined. They yearn for a visible display of your unyielding faith.
Darius strokes his beard, considering their words. He is a devout ruler, and the thought of his faith being questioned troubles him.
What do you suggest?
A decree, Your Majesty. A proclamation stating that for 30 days, no man shall offer prayers or supplications to any god except to you. This will solidify your devotion in the eyes of your people.
Darius contemplates the suggestion. It seems harmless enough. His gaze falls upon Daniel, who stands implacable, betraying no emotion.
What say you, Daniel?
Daniel, aware of the treacherous plan unfolding, remains composed.
The decree strengthens your reign, Your Majesty, but true faith demands no compulsion.
Are you questioning the king's wisdom, Daniel?
Enough! I will consider this.
That night, under the watchful gaze of a million stars, Daniel kneels in his private chamber and looks out his window toward Jerusalem.
O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Deliver me from those who seek to harm me for honoring your name.
The advisors, alerted by a spy, watch from the shadows. Hagi smiles darkly.
We have him now.
The next morning, Darius, unaware of the trap he has fallen into, signs the decree with a flourish. It spreads like wildfire through Babylon, its true intent masked by piety. Daniel, heartbroken but resolute, continues his regular prayers, standing firm in his faith in the face of impending danger. 3 days later, the advisors burst into Darius' court, righteous fury painted on their faces.
Your Majesty, look what we have found.
What is that?
Did you not decree, Your Majesty, that all prayers be directed to you alone? This is signed eyewitness testimony that Daniel, one of your presidents, has been praying to his Jewish God in open defiance of that decree. And not just once, 3 times per day.
Darius feels a cold dread grip his heart. He glances at Daniel, who stands tall, his face a mask of quiet defiance. Shame washes over the king. He has been a fool, manipulated by his advisor's jealousy.
Have you disobeyed the decree, Daniel?
Your Majesty, I am duty-bound to obey my God rather than men.
He has defied your authority, Your Majesty. The law is clear. He must be punished.
Darius feels trapped. He cannot condone Daniel's actions, but neither can he condemn a man of such loyalty. He looks at Daniel, a silent plea for a solution in his eyes. With a heavy heart, he speaks.
The law must be upheld. Take Daniel to the lion's den.
I understand your choice, my king. Still, my God, whom I serve, will deliver me.
I certainly hope so.
As they lead Daniel away, a single tear rolls down Darius's cheek. A tear for a loyal advisor, and a lesson in the treacherous nature of power. Three hours later, guards march Daniel to a lion's den on the outskirts of Babylon. Darius is so distraught that he cannot bear to accompany them. The gate to the den is unlocked. Daniel is roughly pushed down the hole where the lions are kept, stumbling and falling, landing on the hard earth. He rises slowly, brushing himself off. The guards retreat to the entrance, the heavy metal gate clanging shut.
May your God save you now, Jew.
Don't talk like that, Baran. We've all heard the stories.
Stories are for children. Lions are hungry. He won't last the night.
Father, you have been faithful to me in times of trouble in the past. If it is your will, shut the mouths of these lions.
Three massive lions emerge from the shadows, their muscles rippling in the dim light. They circle Daniel slowly, sniffing the air.
Have you seen what lions can do to a man?
I have, and it's a frightful sight.
I don't want to see this.
We won't have to. We have orders to cover the den with a stone slab.
Yes, and that slab must be sealed with the king's own signet ring, and the signet ring of all his nobles.
Yes, that's the end of Daniel the Jew.
After the den is sealed, the lions continue to circle, their eyes fixed on Daniel. He stands tall, his eyes closed, his lips moving silently in prayer.
Fear not, for the Lord is with me. He is my strength and my salvation.
The lions pause, their growls subsiding. They approach Daniel cautiously, sniffing him tentatively. One lion nudges him gently with its head. Daniel reaches out a hand and strokes its soft mane. The other two lions follow suit, nuzzling him playfully. Meanwhile, the king is huddled with his military commander.
I know that you were fond of Daniel, my liege, but you had no choice.
Is it possible that he could survive the night?
It has never happened before.
The king refuses supper. He cannot sleep. He spends the night fasting. At daybreak, he hurries to the lion's den. A crowd follows him. The king orders the guards to remove the stone.
Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve so faithfully, been able to rescue you from the lions?
A moment passes. The air is thick with tension. Then there is a sound from within the den.
O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for I was found innocent in his sight.
Guards, open this gate. Get him out of there at once.
Let it be known to all the peoples of our vast kingdom that the God of Daniel is the living God, enduring forever. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders. Daniel's God is the true God. As for Hagi and Sheshbazar, and all the other conspirators who sought Daniel's demise, cast them into the lion's den, along with their wives and children.
Before Daniel's enemies hit the floor, the lions have them in their jaws, tearing them to pieces.
In every generation, God shows his power to those who stand firm in faith. May this be a testament to his glory and a ray of hope for all who believe.
In the face of peril, one man's unwavering faith illuminates the power of divine protection, proving that no pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper still.